Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Today, we're speaking with the co-author of Value Investing, Expand Your Circle of Competence. His name is Jonathan Ang, and we are continuing our series. It's called Our REITs Journey to Wealth. And today, Jonathan, you're going to tell us all about checking the debt of REIT. And we know there's good debt, the kind that increases your wealth, and then bad debt, the kind that does the exact opposite. Why do we need to understand debt when it comes to REITs?
Right. I'm very excited to be here today. And, you know, when you look at debt, right, it's actually something that's not very complicated. So I would just want to ask you, ask the listeners, right? I'm just going to ask one question, right? So, okay. For example, if you can choose a partner, okay. Right? Partner A earns $10 million mm-hmm. and another person, right, a potential partner, partner B, earns $100 million. So, Michelle, who would you choose to, you know, kind of want to marry this partner?
$10 million or $100 million?
Yes.
The one who doesn't want me to sign a prenup is the one I marry.
Okay, let's say if there's no prenup.
$100 million, Mr. More
right.
Money.
It's a no-brainer, yeah. Right? $100 million. But what if I tell you...
As long as he's kind.
Right,
yeah,
what
ahead.
If I tell you... Guy A, yeah. Right, Guy A actually has no debt.
Okay.
But Guy B has $1 billion worth of debt. Who would you choose now?
Hold on, I need to backtrack. Okay, it's Mr. 10 million.
Yeah, Mr. 10 million has no debt.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But Mr. 100 million has $1 billion worth of debt.
Yeah, I know billion means more than million, so I'm going with Mr. 10 million. Mr. Yeah, no debt.
Exactly. So, you know, sometimes when we look at REITs, right, it's not always about the yield, right? People always want to look at the yield. So that's the reason why we have to look at debt, right, which is why today I'm going to introduce this ratio called the gearing ratio.
Okay. And so you're telling me a low gearing is what we're looking out for.
Exactly, right. So I think the REIT industry is pretty safe in a sense because our government, MAS, has actually come up with a regulation where REITs are not allowed to have a gearing ratio of more than 45%, right? So for those who are listening out there, you know, what exactly does 45% mean, right? So let me just... say out the formula, okay? If you're not a person who knows math, you know, you're bad at math, don't worry, right? I can actually break down this really, really very simply, right? So what is gearing ratio? Gearing ratio is actually total borrowings divided by total assets, right? So you have borrowings, right? All your loans divided by your total assets.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so if you have a gearing ratio of, let's say, 45%, mm-hmm. what it means is that for every $1 of asset you have in the REIT, right, you have 45 cents worth of debt. So intuitively, right, for every dollar of asset that you have, of course, you want the amount of debt to be as little as possible, right? So that's how we look at gearing ratio. And, you know, although MES has a regulation of, you know, REITs not being able to have a gearing ratio of more than 0.45, which is 45%, mm-hmm. personally, I want to be more conservative, right? My criteria is actually 35%. If it's below 35%, I think this REIT is okay.
Thank you for sharing your criteria. And for those who don't realize it, Jonathan Ang is not just co-author of a great book called Value Investing. He also achieved financial freedom in his 20s.
Right.
Is it 20-ish? 24?
24.
24. Yeah. Yeah, he's very bashful about that. But it's a fact. So thank you very much. I want to share a real-life example. Ascendas REIT. I think just last month, they were in the news for something like a 6% gain. Ascendas REIT is Singapore's first largest listed business space and industrial real estate investment trust, currently trading at $2.94, up 0.02 or 0.68%. What are some lessons do you think that we can learn from Ascendas REIT and yield accretive acquisitions?
Right. So I think, you know, debt is two-edged. It's a two-edged sword, right? It can be good, right? Why is debt good? Why is it when a REIT takes up debt is actually good for shareholders, right? Let me just explain this part before I explain, you know, what are some really good things that Ascendas have done in the past that has benefited the shareholders, right? Okay. And personally, I think Ascendas REIT is a pretty good REIT in my opinion, right? In my opinion. And, okay, so the only reason why you buy a REIT is because, you know, the REIT is always acquiring more and more properties, right? So when a REIT acquires more properties, right, it can collect more rental income.
Right.
right, when the rental income increases, right, each shareholder of that owns the REIT, right, they'll get more payout over the years, right? So that's the only reason why you want to invest in a REIT, because a REIT is able to acquire more properties and from there increase the payout for each shareholder, right? Because why would you want to buy a REIT that doesn't grow the payout, right? If it doesn't grow, then your money is going to die because of inflation.
Maybe you want the value of the stock to go up, right? You want the value of the REIT to go up.
Yes, right. You're right as well. But why will the stock price of REITs go up is because the earnings that it can pay out increases. So that's usually the trend that we see. So really, really good REITs, right? Why their share price increase is because they're able to pay out more and more money every single year, right? We have really good REITs that are able to do that, like Parkway Life REIT, right? We have Fraser Center Point Trust. Okay, so Parkway Life REIT is a hospital REIT consisting of many hospital buildings, not just in Singapore, right? So I think iconic ones are Gleneagles, Raffles. Then they have quite a bit in Japan. And Fraser Center Point Trust, I think most of you probably don't know what it is, but I think you guys probably have been to their malls before. They are malls like Causeway Point, and you know, upcoming they're going to acquire Waterway Point at Punggol. Wonder of Waterway Point. Okay, so by taking on that, by using that, right, a REIT can actually acquire more properties. So that is why my criteria is 35% for gearing ratio, because this allows the REIT to borrow more, so that, you know, when I buy into a REIT, it still has the potential to borrow more money to buy more properties, so that my payout every year has the potential to increase, right? It still has the leeway, and it's not restricted by the 45% that's regulated by MAS.
Okay, thanks for explaining why debt is not totally bad for a REIT. He's Jonathan Ang, co-author of Value Investing, Expand Your Circle of Competence, taking us on this 3-episode journey, our REIT's journey to wealth. And he's taking us on a 3-part journey, our REIT's journey to wealth. This is part 2, by the way, in case you missed part 1. You can download the podcast at Money FM's podcast page. You want to collect all 3 episodes, put them together, and get you started on your REITs journey. Has your REITs journey been good for you, Jonathan?
Yeah, I think REITs are really a really good way to own multiple properties, even from a young age. You know, like if you're 18 years old, yeah, you know, and you're worried you can't own multiple properties, fear not, right? You have REITs. Yeah. Buying a REIT can expose you to multiple properties. In fact, can own 10 properties with just $300.
Yeah, Kelvin told us about that last week with $300, what you could get to it in terms of REITs and properties. So tell us, on what are some indicators that any investor should look out for to determine if their REITs are not over-leveraged?
Right. So I think we were talking about the gearing ratio, right? So my personal criteria is still lesser than 35%. Okay, so let's just go to something that's, you know, real, right? Rather than just saying, oh, no, gearing ratio lesser than how much.
Yeah.
But let's look at a case study, which is Ascendas REITs, right? Mm-hmm. So back in 2018, it's pretty recent, right? Ascendas REIT actually acquired 12 logistics property in the UK, and this is fully funded by debt, right? And because it's fully funded by debt, you know, they were able to get more properties, and in turn, these properties give investors of the REIT more income, right? And in return, this is good for the shareholders, because by acquiring 12 new properties, and if you acquire it by debt, right, it will actually increase my payout after the deal. Okay, so you might be wondering, okay, so Jonathan, you know, that acquiring properties with debt is one way, right? Mm-hmm. What's another way? You know, let's say if a REIT doesn't have enough if it's over leveraged, you know, if it is at if the gearing ratio is already at 45%, what can a REIT do to buy more properties? So a REIT can actually issue more shares.
Right.
But that's the thing, right? Issuing more shares will actually dilute existing shareholders. Right. So this my take is very clear. I'm fine if a REIT issue rights. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. As long as the dilutive effect is lesser than the growth in my income. So let me just give an example, right?
Please.
Yeah, a very, very recent example. Recently, just I think a few days, a week back, Fraser Center Point Trust, they announced that they want to acquire 1/3 of Punggol Waterway Point by issuing shares, right? That means, maybe let me just use a very easy analogy. Okay, never mind. Let me just...
So stick with Frasers, I
let
think.
Let me just stick with Frasers.
Yeah, stick with Frasers.
Okay, so let me just pull out my numbers.
Okay,
so Frasers and the Point... Okay, what they did was they wanted to acquire 1/3 of Punggol Waterway Point. And because of this injection of, let's not call it injection, because they buy over 1/3 of Punggol Waterway Point, right, they're able to increase their rental income, right, by 12%. So they were already owning existing malls like Causeway Point, North Point, etc. Mm-hmm. So by having Punggol Waterway Point into their portfolio as a new property, they're total income of the entire REIT will increase by 12%.
Okay,
but that's the thing, right? They are going to have more shareholders coming in. So although there's an increase, there's a 12% increase in income for the entire REIT, but now this profits will be shared by more people.
Right, right.
Okay, so although the income has increased by 12%, but the distribution that each shareholder will get will only increase by 0.29%. Right. To me, as long as after the dilution is accounted and my distribution per unit, right, distribution per share, or we can call it dividends per share, increases, I'm fine. And I feel that this acquisition is what we call DPU accretive.
DPU
is a distribution per unit, or you can infer it as dividends per share.
Okay. So always come back to the DPU.
Yes, definitely.
And weigh that versus the dilution.
Yes. So let's say if a REIT manager decides to acquire a new properties by issuing shares, and at the end of the day, you realize that your dividends per share decreases, then that's a really bad deal. And I feel that if that's the kind of manager that's managing your REIT, I would sell away the REIT because if the manager doesn't have the interest of the shareholders, right, I don't think he'll have the interest of shareholders in the future as well. So I love managers that have the interest of shareholders in the long term. And how can we know, right? How can we know? Very, very easy. Just look at the dividends that's being paid out for the past 10 years. Is it increasing? If it's increasing, right, it's really a clear cut to say that this manager is capable and he knows what he's doing.
I wish I could show you just how passionate this young man is about REITs and numbers and debt. Debt's one of my favorite topics, actually. And when we talk about debt and REITs, we have to talk about interest rates because we know that affects your debt, right?
Yes.
So how are REITs affected by rising interest rates?
Okay, so I would say most of the really well-managed REITs, right, they are run by really, really prudent managers, right? If you look at Ascendas, I love talking about Ascendas.
I can tell.
Yeah. It's backed by numbers, you see, because they have a policy of making sure at least 50% of their loans are on fixed interest rates. So even if interest rates rise, right, the cost of borrowing, which is the interest that they pay to the bank, will actually be fixed, right? It will not increase, let's say, if the interest rates increase. Same as Frasers Centre Point Trust. Right, Frasers Centre Point Trust has 62% of their loans with fixed interest rates, right? So that's the thing that we want to look at, right? What percentage of the loans are actually on fixed interest rates? So if it's more than 50%, I think the REIT manager is forward-looking. And in the climate, especially in the climate of rising interest rates, right, it's always good to have at least 50% of your loans on fixed interest rates.
Okay. I love this, how precise you are with the numbers that we should be looking out for. Jonathan Ang, taking us on our REITs journey to wealth. How do REITs take up loans when the cash in bank can be less than the loans that they take up? And is this normal? No, another commonly asked question.
Right. I think that's really one thing that was so hard for me to wrap my head around at the start. How can REITs borrow millions and billions of dollars when they don't even have the cash, maybe 10% or 20% of the cash in their bank, right? So I think this is one key criteria on why we actually look at REITs that have fixed interest rates. Okay, let me explain. Let me explain how REITs actually borrow money first, okay? So the thing is, you know, REITs, they actually have a lot of properties, right? Even though they do not have cash, they have a lot of properties. So what they do is they go up to the banks and say, hey, you know, for example, let's say if Jonathan REIT, you know, hey, you know, look at my REIT. I have many, many properties and they are easily worth over $1 billion. Is it okay if I take a loan from you for $100 million and I use my property to back the loan, right? So this is what most REIT do. Mm. Okay, so for example, if the loan is a 4-year loan, okay, and at the end of 4 years, right, I'm supposed to repay back the principal, right, which is, let's say, $100 million. But a REIT usually does not have the $100 million in bank, right, because they are obligated to pay out 90% of their earnings to investors, right? I think that is what Calvin has covered in session one, right? If you're unclear, you can always re-listen to the podcast. Okay, so what they will do now, okay, they do not have cash. What they will do? So what they will do is they will refinance, right? So they'll take up the loan again. So the bank, so how would the bank, you know, determine, okay, should I lend him money again? Mm-hmm. Okay, what they'll do is they'll track, okay, has this REIT been paying me my interest on time for the past 4 years? Mm-hmm. Right? That is why it's so important that, we're going to talk about another ratio, right? That's why later, okay, that is why it's so important that a REIT is able to pay their interest, right, their finance interest or their interest on loan on time so that they can always roll over their loans every, let's say, 3 years or 4 years.
Okay, we're on our REIT journey to wealth with Jonathan Ang, co-author of Value Investing. Expand Your Circle of Competence is the book that he co-wrote. Now, we have 3 minutes left on the clock, less. 2:40 left on the clock. Do you think we have time to talk about this other profile of a REIT, the debt maturity profile?
Yes, for sure. We can talk about that. So what is debt maturity profile, right? So, you know, when a REIT borrows money from the bank, right, it's not just one loan. You have maybe certain loans that is due within 2 years, certain loans that is due within 5 years, 6 years. So what this debt maturity profile does is it consolidates all the loans that is taken up by the REIT and it averages out based on the amounts of the loan taken up. And it kind of tells you, okay, for all the loans that I've taken, what is the average number of years these loans are due by? So if my debt maturity profile is 4 years, it means that in general, all of my loans will be due and up in 4 years' time, right? So for example, Ascender's loans are due in 4 years, right? Their debt maturity profile is 4 years. Mm. And, you know, we have Fraser Centrepoint that is 2.5 years, about 2.4 years. So I think generally, if you have a debt maturity profile of more than 2.5 years, it's pretty good, right? Because it means that you're not forced to pay up or you are not forced to renew all your loans in one single year, which can be quite stressful. And you know, if the loan doesn't get successfully refinanced, then the REIT might have some trouble. So it's always good to have all the loans being spread out equally over, you know, at least more than 2.5 years. So for Ascenders, having a debt maturity profile of 4 years, I think that's pretty comfortable for an investor.
Wow, thanks for explaining so much to us, the impact of interest rates on REITs, what a debt maturity profile, how to see if your REITs is doing well. That's what we're going to be talking about next week. And next week, I think we're going to have to talk about the sponsor next week, Jonathan,
yes,
because we're fresh out of time. He's looking at me going, he has so much more to share.
I want to share.
I know you do. That's why you have to tune in next week for our third and final episode for our journey to riches with REITs. Again, if you'd like more detail, I think people can pick up your book for even more detail on REITs.
Yeah, exactly.
Whole chapter, right?
I mean, we covered so much during this little 20 minutes. If you have any question, right, just go. You can just PM me on Facebook. I'm really fine and open to that.
Okay.
Yes.
Or read Value Investing, Expand Your Circle of Competence.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me, Jonathan. Absolute pleasure speaking with you again. Next week, is it you and Kelvin who'll be in
yes,
studio?
Yes, both
with
of
me?
Us will be here.
Oh, good. Two brains. Jonathan Ang there, and I'm Michelle Martin. Thanks for your company.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.